Source Podcast Series. Remember, we're now live every Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here on this podcast. You know me, I'm your conductor, Joseph Ward, and riding with me today is my man, Patrick Irvin. What it is, Pat?
What it do? Young Thugger, what it is?
You know what I'm saying? The Quiet Storm can't be with us today, so we got sunny skies, no storms today, but we're going to talk about them behind his back, and we're going to call him and tell him about it, so it's all good. Mm-hmm. How you doing today, man?
I'm doing good, man. You know, I'm eating some cat from the Chinese place.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. Okay, you got to clean that up, because you sound, you know, you got to clean up how you say that.
What, some cat?
Yeah.
Your mind in the gutter, Joe?
Yeah. So, you know how that go. Always. But, you know, tell people to call in and join us at 720-820-1343. And once again, that's 720-820-1343. And remember, you can join us online at www.freeconferencecall.com/wall/freedomtrain. Also, the Freedom Train is sponsored by PAX Inc. That's PACTSINC. And PAX Inc. is a black advocacy organization aimed at developing the black community to its maximum potential through a focus on education and economics with the traits of hard work, honesty, and integrity. And for more information, you know you can visit www.paxinc.org. That's PACTSINC.org. And you know, while you online, make sure you visit our Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrainradio.com to learn more about the show, to listen to the playbacks of your favorite shows as well. And while you online, go to social media and follow us on Twitter and Instagram at _FreedomTrain, and make sure you like our Freedom Train Facebook page. So,
I need a checklist, man.
Why?
Because you just ran down a whole bunch of stuff to do, man. That's like 10 items. I need a checklist.
Well, you know, people be
Freedom Train checklist.
They be online anyway, man, so it's all good.
So who we got this week?
Well, I feel like a champion every week, but really this week, though. I don't know about you, but I feel real. I mean, it ain't got nothing to do with LeBron and winning, but I feel like a real champion right now. You know what I'm saying? I don't know about you. You know,
so
because
tell us why.
Because we have a very, very special person, Miss Erica Cromartie, who is the two-time 2A Coach of the Year here in the state of Florida, and the back, like Magic Johnson say, the back-to-back 2A Girl State Champion, Coach Erica Cromartie. How you doing today, Erica?
I'm good. How about yourself?
We're doing wonderful. We're happy to have you here with us today.
Good.
Yes, ma'am. You know, the work that you've been putting in the community is unparalleled, and the things that you've been able to do with the young girls that you deal with on a daily basis is incredible. So, you know, our hat goes off to you, and we have to do for you like we do for everybody, because you deserve this. Go ahead, our studio audience got to show you some love. You're a round of applause, you know.
Thank you.
So before we get into the questions, I'm going to give the people a little background information about you, and then we're going to kick this interview off. So, Erica Cromartie is the head girls basketball coach at FAMU DRS here in Tallahassee, Florida. Her job is geared at exposing the young ladies that she come across to life skills and basketball skills. She is a former Baby Rattler and has the opportunity to teach physical education and coach high school basketball at her alma mater. She graduated from FAMU DRS in 2001, and after graduation, she attended Miles College in Birmingham, Alabama, where she played basketball for 4 years. Upon graduating from Miles College, she returned to the state of Florida to attend the Florida State University, where she received a master's degree in physical education. She also received a master's degree in sports management at Florida A&M University. Furthermore, she began teaching and coaching basketball in 2008 while she was working at Crossroad Academy Charter School in Quincy, Florida. And in 2014 and 2015, she began coaching basketball at FAMU DRS. That's where her team won the first 2A state championship, and at this time, she was first voted the 2A Coach of the Year. And by 2015-2016, she returned her team to back-to-back championships in the state of Florida and was once again voted the 2A Coach of the Year. And once again, we present to you all Miss Erica Cromartie. Yes,
thank ma'am. You, thank you. Only thing on that, it wasn't the first one in the school. They won state before I got there.
They won, okay.
Yeah, so I didn't want to take all of that. They had, you know.
But see, they don't tell nobody. They don't tell nobody about this stuff. So we're glad we're glad you're here to clear that up.
Was it the first 2-time, though?
The first time back-to-back? No, right. We actually have done it back-to-back before, I'm not mistaken. Yeah.
I was trying to work it in, but I failed.
Well, let me ask this. How many championships has the school, has the girls' team won overall in the school's history?
Well, here it's been 4 in the last 5 years, you know, but they won one in 2003 also.
Okay.
Yeah, so, you know, it's a rich tradition. And I just thank God for the opportunity to allow me to continue to carry it out, which I was a part of. I mean, we made it to state my 10th grade and 12th grade year, but we always came up short. So to come back and win as a coach, to win it twice as a coach, it's indescribable. I mean, it's all glory to God for that.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I know, right? All right, Pat, you know how we do. Go ahead, man. Let's kick this off.
So, and thank you. You know what? Round of applause. Where the studio audience at?
Man, they right here. Right here, man.
Yeah,
you know how.
Thank you. Yeah, look what just happened, right? I hope everybody was listening to the level of integrity that was just displayed. That was, you know, she could have just quietly sat back and been like, whatever. Nah, she said, no, you know what? I can't take all of that. They done it before.
Hey.
Yeah.
Hey.
I'm not sure if it was back-to-back, but I know, I mean, they have championships before I got there. So, no, I definitely wasn't going to do that. And that's my school, so, you know. Well,
right.
If the school can get more praise, I'm with it.
That's right.
That was big stuff, though.
Right.
But, you know, so we talked to you after you had won the last championship last year.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. So what lessons did you learn last year that helped you grow as a coach and help you repeat? Two-time this year.
One of the lessons I would say is from my first year, I guess it was just so it was new, you know, and I wanted to try to make sure I did everything correctly. I felt like I had to do everything right. And my second year, I learned that you're not going to do everything right, and that's okay, because the things that, you know, you learn and you do, it all plays out within itself. It's all going to come out for the good. So I had to just, my second year was like, you know, you're not going to do everything correct. Just go with it and know that everything's going to work out in the end. So that was one of the biggest lessons I learned is it can't be perfect.
Right, right. So, I mean, because to go back to back, like, did you guys have to tweak things within your game plan? I know you had to rebuild because you may have had new players, you may have lost players. What were some of the new, I guess you could say, changes or challenges you guys had to deal with or overcome that you didn't have to deal with last year?
Like I tell people, every year you're going to have a different team. You know, a lot of people are like, oh, well, most of them coming back. But it's still going to be a different team every year. So the main thing that we try to do is we try to build camaraderie off the court, because a lot of times people just feel like, oh, you just got good players, y'all going to win. It's so much more that comes with being successful when it comes to basketball, especially with girls. You know, you have to make sure that they all understand the common goal, and that's to make each other better and to ultimately be successful. And once they understand that and they understand that you actually care for them as a person and not just an athlete, then it takes off. So that's the main thing, is to make sure they understand what you're trying to do and what you want them to accomplish at the end.
Okay. Cool. So we asked this question last year, but I do want to revisit this question for some of our new audience members. What inspired you initially to become a basketball coach, and was was it something that you dreamed of always doing, or was it something that became a love of yours after you actually was exposed more to the game and learned more about basketball?
Yes, I definitely remember this question. But actually, you know what? Like, I'm sure I said this last time. I had no intention of being a basketball coach.
Okay.
My goal after college was I'm going to the WNBA or I'm going overseas to play basketball. But as I graduated from my college, at that time, I think I was in a different state. You know, I was more so like, I'm done basketball my entire life just about. I think I want to do something else. So I know I still enjoy sports, but I didn't feel like I wanted to play like I did when I was probably about 12 or 13. So I ended up coming back to Tallahassee, and that's when I got in contact with my former high school coach, Coach Adolph Hicks. And at that time, he had left FAMU High. He ended up coaching at Leon. And he asked me, he said, well, I know you're going to be in grad school, but if you have time, you know, come out and, you know, work with some of my girls. So I was like, okay, you know, I'll have some time. So I started volunteering at first. And then as I volunteered, you know, I started to see how I interacted with the players, how they responded, how they enjoyed the drills and the things we did. And I kind of started liking it. So after a while, Coach Hicks, he put me on his staff, and I started coaching with him until I graduated from Florida State. And then that's when, after I graduated from Florida State, I started coaching at Crossroads, and that's just how it went. I had no intentions of doing it, but you know how they say, you tell God your plans, he'll laugh. So I had no intentions of doing it, and he kind of just, you know, steered me that way.
Okay.
You have a little tears in your voice when you said Leon.
No, Leon was pretty cool. I mean, it was different from FAMU High, but it was an experience, I'll say that.
Right. He's trying to start, so that's what he's doing.
Yeah, I hear him. I hear him coming from the side.
Right.
We'll leave it alone.
You know how us Rickards people do.
Yeah.
Hold on now.
Hey, I put me in there too.
Now, when you said us Rick, you put yourself in there. Partner.
There it is.
So, is it more difficult to win the second go around when you've won already? And you know, what sort of things go into preparing? Like, did you do anything different coming off a championship that you would have done? I know you said that every year it's a different team and things like that, but were you able to use being a champion already to kind of fuel the second one, or did you just like wipe the slate clean and just, all right, it's a new season, we're doing everything from scratch? How did that work out?
Well, when you have a philosophy and you have substance, it doesn't change. I mean, like I said, your players will change, but your philosophy and your goal will never change. So we did the same preseason workout, the same practices. Well, not the same practices, but the same type of practices. That aspect of it stayed the same. But I will say, from the outside standpoint, yeah, it was a little different because the target was definitely on our back. Because, you know, you have teams that want to knock off the defending state champion. So that's going to be different. You know, people want to say they beat the champion. So from that aspect, it was different. But from my coach's standpoint, we never changed. We stayed the same. We had the same workout, the same routine, because we know if we do things a certain way, the results we would get. So it was just plugging in different people to the system that's already been set up, that we set up from when I first got there.
Gotcha.
Okay. I want to ask you this, because it really kind of just popped in my head, because watching a lot of sports on TV, more so professional sports, but when they talk about creating dynasties and creating lasting winning traditions, and the philosophy, like you were mentioning, that's something that is big, but as well as establishing winning culture. So in your opinion, what are some of the best ways to establish a winning culture that can help that philosophy blossom?
Just, you know, we have a way of, like I said, you have, especially as a coach, and I put coaches in the same category sometimes as leaders and pastors, because you're over certain people, or certain people, you know, look at you to lead them. So, you know, you just have to have that it factor, that the players and whoever is a part of that organization or that team believe that you know what you're doing, believe that you have what it takes to get them to where they probably thought they could never be. So that's why I said you just have to have that, you know what I'm saying? And it could be some ways I promote or encourage the girls is, you know, try to teach them different strategies, try to put them in situations where they feel like they can be successful, talk to them, encourage them, you know what I'm saying? Get them to work on things that you know will help them later on, not just in basketball, but in life. And then at FAMU High, you know, it wasn't as hard because we were kind of used to being successful, you know.
Uh-huh.
So it was just coming in, and like I was telling someone else, Jacob Henderson that interviewed me last, he was like, were you nervous because, you know, it's a lot of history, you know, before you got there? I said, no, I wasn't nervous because I already knew what was had been established. I wanted to add my twist to it, but also keep what FAMU High had already been in the past.
Okay. So you were like you feel more so privileged to be able to add to the legacy rather than feel pressured that, oh, I might mess this up.
Yeah, because I had been a part of it, so I had seen some of the stuff that got them and got us to where we are. So it wasn't like, oh, I'm just coming in fresh, you know, wet behind the ears. I know a little bit about the game of basketball, and I know what it takes to be successful. And that's
okay.
A given talent from God.
Yes, ma'am. So from your, from our vantage point, rather, it seems like your girls just like ran through the competition. This may not be accurate, but from my point of view, when I was paying attention, it almost seemed like you dominated the competition and you all won by 30, 40 points. To me, it felt like y'all won by like 40 points each game. So, I mean, I know we're talking about the culture and things, but on a personal level, when you were connecting with these young girls, to get them to play at such a high level, what are some of the key things that you need to be able to connect with your players to get them to play at such a high level? Because that's an amazing level to play at.
Well, first of all, you know, you have to be first partaker of what you're dishing out. When I say first partaker, meaning you have to know what you're talking about. You have to know how to get them to that level. So the experiences I've experienced from even from YMCA to middle school to high school to college basketball has got me to a point where I can show you how to play at a high level because I've experienced it, I've seen it, I've been around it. So that's why I say you have to be a first partaker of it. It's no way I can come in and I don't know anything about it and get you to – execute a certain play or a strategy when I can't even show you how to do it myself. So you have to be a student of the game. You have to know the game, first of all, to even get them to play at a certain level. And with me, I look at my talent, and I just look at ways to expand it, you know what I'm saying? If I know a player can shoot, I put her in a situation where I know she can get that certain shot off. If I know I have a great defender, I'm going to put her in a situation where I know I can really use her to her best ability. So you just try to put all that in one big puzzle and make sure that everyone has their own niche so they feel like they can contribute to the team.
Okay.
So I'm going to go left, but you can bring it back right. I'm curious, though. I assume you watched the finals recently, right?
I did, yes.
Yeah. Do you think, let me change that, if you were Steve Kerr, what would you have done to what would you have changed, if anything, in Game 7 to get that win?
Well, you can't even start with Game 7. You have to go back. You have to go back until the season into the playoffs. Because one thing about Golden State, the way they play, is you live by it, you die by it.
Right.
And see, they have a long season. The NBA starts in, I'm not sure exactly when they start, but they end in June. They have a long season. So the way they play, as time goes on, those shots you could have made in November, you might not make that in June. because it takes a toll on your body after all. So what they need, what I would have done, and I'm not an NBA coach, but what I would have done if I had that team, before we even got to the playoffs or towards the end, I would instill some kind of offense where we're driving to the basket or we're posting up someone. We're not always coming down jacking up threes, because when those balls do not fall, when you shoot long balls, you get long rebounds, which gives the other team breakaways to the other side. And then the way they play is very finesse. You know, they don't want to bang. They don't want to box out and rebound. So it's a lot of things that you're taking chances with when you just come down jacking up threes every time. Okay. So back in maybe November, I would have had some kind of game plan where these possessions we driving to the basket, or these possessions we posting up Draymond Green, because you can't depend on that three all the time. As you can see, the shots was not falling.
Right.
And at that time, they started panicking. By that time, it was too late.
Right. Okay. Well, I'm glad you asked that, Pat. Because let me ask this, and this will help bring it back. But when, as a coach, especially with high school girls, and because you guys essentially were the Golden State Warriors this year on your level, because you were the defending champions, ripping through the competition. So when you have your high school age girls in a situation to where their backs are against the wall, or they could be panicking or start to panic, how do you get girls at this level to refocus and do what they have always done to gain control of the game to be able to get the victory?
We have experiences. If anyone knows our season, if you follow our season, we don't run through competition the whole entire season. We play teams that's way bigger than us, and some people's opinion might be even better than us, but I'm going to tell you why I do that. So by the time the postseason comes, we've already seen this type of game. We've already seen this type of team. So when we get to the playoffs and it's time for the state, or we get to a point where it's tight, we played this type of team November 12th. We've already been here. What did we do last game to get through this situation? Is this the same situation, just different team? So I put them in situations like we practice against boys. We go at it. I put them in situations so when they see tough times, they've already experienced it.
Okay. Shoot, I want to be on your team. Shoot.
Come on. We got space now. Nah, we can't take any Rickets Raiders over there. Well, Rickets Redskins over there.
Oh, man. See, you threw both of them in there, too.
Right. I'm not sure what year y'all graduated, because y'all could be a Raider.
Well, I'm half and half. I'm half Redskin, half Raider. So.
Oh, okay. Nah, it's just a Southside rivalry. Always right. Has been since I was a little girl at FAMU High.
Right. Y'all cool.
Yeah.
So.
No, so. You were the two-way coach of the year, and then, you know, two-time this year. How important of a role do your girls play in your development as a coach? And what are some of the most important lessons that you've learned from those girls?
That's a very good question, because the success I may gain, it's all because of the experiences I've had with them, and vice versa. You know, we complement each other. So a lot of success that I get is from being with them, being around them, learning their experiences, going through things with them. Because, you know, I don't have any kids, so they're like my girls. They're like my babies. So the things that they encounter, I encounter with them. You know, I try to help them through it. Just, you know, basic things that teenage girls may go through. So all those things work out for the good. You know, like I said in the interview before, we're not perfect. The girls are not perfect, but all us imperfect people make perfect situations. So, I mean, the season wasn't perfect, but all those things that didn't work out the way we saw, and all those things that went left, made us who we are right now. You know, people look at us and say, oh, they didn't say that. Yeah, but we've had experiences, and those experiences propelled us to where we are now. So being with them, they helped me tremendously. Being at FAMU DRS has helped me as a coach. And I'm not where I feel like I need to be. I feel like I got a ways to go. Well, I love the track I'm on, and I thank God for the track that I'm on. But I still understand that I still have a lot of things I need to experience as a coach, because eventually I do want to get to the next level. But, you know, I always look at this God, you know, take me if the round goes higher and higher. So I'm ready for the opportunity and grateful for the opportunity.
Okay. Like we talked about it earlier, but I would like to go a little deeper because people don't always get the opportunity like you have to coach at their former high school, as well as be able to not only deliver championships, but to help develop great people. So how rewarding is it for you every day to get up and not, well, because you're really not going to work, because from how you explained it, you have fun. So how rewarding is it for you to get up and go have fun every day with the girls you love at your former high school?
I mean, it's truly a blessing from God. Like I said before, I had no intention of doing that. I mean, it's nothing. I wasn't saying I was just like, oh, no, I won't do that. But it just wasn't my intention at the time. I was looking at, man, I'm trying to get to the league. I want to play. But to me, that just kind of taught me a long time ago that it's not about you. You know, like, it was like, why would I bless you just for yourself when you can be such a tremendous blessing to others? And if he gave me that choice then, would you rather be a coach or would you rather play? Seeing it now, I would have picked being a coach. Now, mm-hmm. You know, I probably back then I was younger and kind of immature, but I'm happy he took me this way because it's more rewarding this way to see, you know, girls come to the program a certain way and then they leave. You just see them blossom on and off the court. I mean, it is just, I can't even describe how it makes me feel. And then, like you said, to be at FAMU High, like I won't be anywhere else because I'm trying to give back to something that was definitely given to me from first grade to 12th grade. So,
right.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's just great to be able to give back to my alma mater.
Okay.
And to coach the girls that I love.
Right.
So, being in sports, which sports is a wonderful tool for teaching life lessons.
It is, definitely.
How do you keep your girls, how do you keep out outside distractions, and when outside things do make their way onto the court, or when, you know, maybe girls are getting a little too cocky, or maybe this is happening or that is happening that's taken away from the game or taken away from the chemistry or whatever else is going, how do you check that?
I mean, you as you coach, or have you been around teenagers, or because I teach there too, so Even not my players, just being around the students, you can just tell when, you know, someone is in their ear or they have a hard time, you know, grasping what you're trying to tell them. You just try to make sure they understand your stance. You know, you try to make sure they understand your intentions for them and what you want them to do and be. And, I mean, you have people that, you know, might have opinions about the program or even opinions about me, you know, but I just try to make sure if I feel that they might be, you know, someone might be trying to sway them, just how important it is to understand the bond that we have, the commitment we have, and understand that we only want you to be successful, you know. So I just try to reinstill that and make sure they understand our stance and what we're trying to do. And for the most part, we haven't had issues with that, thank God, you know, that anyone has tried to, like, kind of sway them out, the program, whatever. So that's truly a blessing, but just try to make sure they understand where home is and what we're trying to do with them.
Okay. Because it seems as if it's very easy for such young people to slip into to allow the outside forces to distract them, but also,
oh yeah.
But what we also are hearing you say is, There's not just the culture, but there's a whole environment created to be able to, they're going to make their mistakes, but this environment is also created to help them grow. Am I correct?
Most definitely, because as a coach, you can't be, oh, as long as you can do this to me on the court, then you're good, and then they're disrespectful, and they're doing whatever. Because to me, you're just in it for what they can do for you. You definitely have to be selfless when you're a coach. It can't just be what that player or person can do for you, because let me tell you something about kids. Kids can understand if you're not for them.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get away with that with a kid. They will get you. They can understand if you're really for them or not. So you really have to be for that person regardless of what they can do for you. You have to be. to be in this profession. And that's on any level.
Okay. We know that the team, especially high school team, is constructed of more than just the players, the coaches, and the other staff of the team, because the parents play an important role, and especially in the maturation of these young teens to adults. So how important of a role do parents play in helping to create a championship culture, and how are you able to get parents involved with your team?
With parents, you have to have an open line of communication. You have to make sure that they understand your stance. You have to make sure they understand that you are for their child. Like I said, not just what the child can do for you, but you're for their child as a human being. And once parents understand that this person really cares for my daughter or my son, then the parents will do what you need them to do for you, because they want to be a part of that. They want to make sure that their means you have weight, because they understand that they really want my child to be successful. So once parents believe that and understand how you are as a person, they'll help out. Now, like I said, if you're the other coach and you just like, man, season over, I don't want to hear from you, whatever, I don't deal with you, parents pick up on that too. So the parents just have to understand that you have their child's best interest at heart.
Okay.
And once they do that, you're good. I mean, I have good parents, so it's pretty cool.
Okay.
I had a question.
Duh, of course you do.
So, and we talked about culture a little bit earlier, and I know you touched on it a little bit, but I was wondering, without, you know, I don't want you to give away no trade secrets, because it might be some spies listening, but how if you were going into a new program, right, and it was a program that have been losing, perennial losers. How would you go into that program and create a championship culture where the kids not only want to win, but they believe they can win, and they go out and they dominate their opponents on the court, but still act with class off the court? How would you go in and install that culture and turn things around?
Well, first of all, you have to. If I was in that situation, the first thing I would do is meet with those players and understand. You know, try to figure out why haven't they been successful. It could be, they just don't have the skill level, or they just don't have the confidence. But once you understand what it is, then you gravitate to that. Say it is they don't have skill level. So then at that point, what we're gonna do? We're gonna be in depth, going, you know, just making sure we focus on skill level. If it's confidence, I will come in making sure they understand that you can do these things. It can happen. It might take time, but it can be done. A lot of things, a lot of people don't understand. Some of it is just positive reinforcement. Yeah, I can come in there and say, oh, we're gonna win, and they've been losing. But after a while, if you keep saying it and you put them in situations where they feel like they're being successful, it could be small success. It could be, you know, giving them goals and they meet those goals. All that builds up to their mental state. And after a while, they'll start believing what you're telling them. And after a while, once they start believing it, it'll start happening. Because that's the main thing. It first starts with your mind. You have to believe that you can do things before you even do it. So it'll just be just making sure I do positive reinforcement. If it's skill level, then we got to get down and get dirty and work on these skills. You know, it just depends on what the block is that's making them how they are. Because
okay,
we can have all the talent in the world, but if they don't believe they can play, guess what? They won't win.
That's true. That's true. But how important is talent? Because we understand that hard work and all these things, they play a part.
Oh, you gotta have some talent too. Now,
okay.
I mean, you can just get out there and speak it. It's gonna happen. No,
right.
You gotta have some players that can play too. That's why I said it's just a lot of things that come with it. Like, it's not just you roll out the balls and you play. Like, it's a lot that comes with. You need to have talent, and you also need to have the parts with that talent to make sure you put them in good situations. You know what I'm saying? So it's not as easy as people think.
Okay.
So you can't say one is more important than the other.
I can't say one is more important than the other at this point. No, I can't.
Okay.
Because like I said before, you can have all the talent in the world, but if they're disrespectful or they don't know how to be successful, it won't work. And then flip it. You know, if they believe they can and they know they can, but they can't play, you're still not going to win.
Yeah. Yeah. And the reason why I asked that, because, you know, when you watch your TV and stuff like that, and you're looking at stuff to motivate yourself, especially when I was young, they try to make it seem like all you have to do is work real hard. But that skill level is important, though, because they do go hand in hand.
It's very important. Yes.
Okay. So,
like, I wouldn't, if I was at that place he was just asking me if I was at, I wouldn't go in saying, oh, we going to win the world championship this year. And they looking around like, what team? You got to be realistic, too.
Right. So would you, like, start with, like, small goals and small steps to the benchmark?
Yep. Like I said, small victories. And eventually, those small victories will eventually make it big victories. Perfect example, when I was at Crossroad Academy, my first year there, wow, did we win a game? You don't know what? We won one game, and guess how we won that one game? Forfeit. The other team forfeit. We won one game. And then the next year, I think I might have won maybe three. Then my third year, we end up breaking even. It was like 500, like 11-11, like something like that, 9-10. My last year, we only lost two games. So see, perfect example of that, how over the time it got better.
Right. And you got better as well, though, because you started learning more and more things.
Yes. Okay.
So, well, and this is off the beaten path, but it's a good conversation. But so what's the difference? What's the biggest difference between coaching middle school girls and high school girls?
I would say, well, it, some aspects, talent-wise, you know, talent is a little different sometimes. Mm-hmm. But you might have some middle school teams that could just get it, you know. Mm-hmm. But from my experience, talent plays a factor in that. Maturity, for the most part, with girls, middle school to high school, that's a big difference. And just the level of play, you know, in my experience has been different from that. But the respect factor has been the same at both places.
Okay.
And that's because I'm a firm believer that you give out the respect that you want to receive. I can't come in being a butthole and expect the girls to, you know, want to play for me. I believe in giving out respect to anybody.
Okay. Yeah, you got to have that. These kids do recognize when adults don't respect them.
Exactly.
All right. So, to an interesting question, what are some of the biggest issues that you think young girls are facing today? Not just your girls on the court, but just young girls in general.
One of the things I would say from just being in the education field with females, a lot of it to me is peer pressure, feeling like I have to be this way or I have to act a certain way to fit in, especially with, you know, mostly I would say with the girls. I think that's a big thing, you know. Girls sometimes want to feel like they belong, you know, want to feel like I'm a part of something, which is sometimes good, but at the same time, you have to understand what it is you're trying to be a part of. If it's nothing that's not going to benefit you or make you a better person, then, you know, you shouldn't do it. But who's to say a 15-year-old or a 16-year-old will know that? You know, you just say, my friend's doing it, so I want to do it. So it's important for them to understand what things should you follow and some things that you shouldn't. So I would say peer pressure would be the toughest thing I think some of our young females deal with.
Okay. Well, do you think, and it's especially for the girls, and not just your girls, but girls across the world who are able to compete in different sports and have success in these sports, because that builds self-esteem, in my opinion. So do you think those girls going through these experiences help them to be able to resist peer pressure outside or off the court?
You mean when they're successful on the court, would that help them with peer pressure?
Yes.
Yeah, because, I mean, from just seeing some of my girls, I could tell, like, a lot of people, some of their friends or some of the people that they, you know, may encounter, you know, like to be around them because, oh, that's, you know, when she's on the team, you know, they're winning and stuff. So I think it does help them, but it's still going to be some things I think that basketball probably can't alleviate that they're going to experience. I mean, I can say basketball did keep me from a lot of stuff, from a lot of bad things, but I still believe that that's just part of growing up. You're going to experience some things that, you know, it might just take you going through to understand it ain't worth it. So I won't say basketball just shuns them away from everything, but I do say basketball does help play a part of that.
Okay.
So
yeah, it does help because basketball not only just help with their skill, but those girls are together for a long period of time.
Mm-hmm.
So they, you know, they develop a sisterhood. You know, they, you know, just like being around each other. So that helps you a part of something. So that helps in a positive light. So basketball does help, but I won't say it just shields them from everything.
Okay.
So the final seconds are ticking off the clock.
Okay.
Of your two-time, back-to-back championship run. What's going through your head? What's going through your heart? How are you feeling at that
Wait a minute. We're about to win the third one, right? That's what you're saying?
No, I'm saying you just won the second one.
This oh, the second back. One. Okay,
you know,
okay, okay.
We're going back. Yeah. We're going back in time. We're going back in space and time.
Okay.
What's going on inside you as you're realizing that we just repeated?
Man, you know what? I don't even... At that time, you know, I think I was more so like, we did it, you know. I was just so proud for them, you know, because like I said earlier in the segment, you know, it was targets on them, you know. And I told them, I always tell them that come with the territory, you know, especially if you're successful, you know, you're going to get the target on you. The target is not always a good target, you know, so. I think to for them to have that pressure off of them, like, yes, we did it again, you know, now what, you know, I was just so happy for them and myself and my coaches and for the school because, you know, it's a lot of love that come with it, but, you know, when you get a lot of love, the opposite of that comes with it, too. So for them to just, you know, kill all the naysayers and just, embrace something that I know they were extremely hard for. That was my rewarding right there, just seeing them embrace that moment.
Okay.
And for me
okay.
to be a part of that.
So,
well,
so, I'm sorry, Joe. I'm sorry, Joe.
No, go ahead.
So now we going forward through space and time.
Okay.
You just three-peated.
Oh, yes.
So we're going to go ahead and put that out in the atmosphere right now.
I received that. You just three-peated. What does that mean for you?
Man, God is so good. That's what it means to me because, like I always tell people, all the success that I have is truly a gift from God. Like, I don't know where I would be if God wasn't with me because I made plenty of mistakes in my life. But for him to just continue to reward me secretly and openly is just, man, I don't even know what I would do at that time. I'd probably take off running or something like that. I don't know. But it'll be a blessing, not only for myself, but for the girls, for the program, for the community, for the state of Florida, for the city of Tallahassee, you know, just for them, just for us to have that. I mean, and trust me, we're working now and we're going to work back at it to get back to that point. So it's
right.
not far-fetched. Don't get
right.
twisted. It's not far-fetched.
Right. I mean, it really shouldn't be because I know one thing that we have learned here on this show, because we've had some excellent guests, and we seem to have a theme with some of our guests, that power of positive thinking, and you claim and stuff, like you said, you receive it. Go ahead and receive it every time they throw it out at you, because why not go ahead and see it and do it? Why not?
Yeah, someone made a comment to me, this was like last year, and they was like, oh, you shouldn't say what you think going to happen, just let it happen. I said, but my whole life has been that way. Like, my whole life has been me thinking positive even if things don't look a certain way, I still think positive. And I'm like, you know, it's worked so far, so I'm not going to change it. It's not being cocky or arrogant. It's just something that I believe that if we work hard for, we're going to be rewarded. So I'm not going to change that.
Exactly. Exactly.
Exactly.
I mean, you have proof that sticking to what has gotten you here works. Like, why should I think another way when it has worked? Like you say, it's been working your whole life. So, I mean,
right.
Why change? If you change, that's
right.
Crazy. So.
And I've learned not to look at circumstances because those are not permanent, you know. So, I mean, like I said, people may call it what they want to call it, but that's just how I am, you know.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. So, July 1st in Tallahassee,
yes,
Florida at the
yes.
Midlands. Tell us what's going on.
Oh, on July 1st, my friend, classmate, Jamel Bellamy, and another friend of mine, Jason Davis, has put together a birthday bash for myself. And also, like, I think in the beginning of that, around, like, 6 or 7, they're going to have, like, a political mixture where,
mm-hmm.
I don't want to name any names. I'm not sure who's all going to be there. But some of the, you know, the features of Tallahassee, I know Mataki Atbar, Ramon Alexander, some other ones will come in and speak of positive things in the community and just have, like, a political mixture where they'll, you know, people ask questions and they will respond. That's going to be earlier. And then later on in that day, like 9 towards the midnight hour, will be a birthday bash for myself. My birthday is actually on Sunday, but they usually do the first Tallahassee, first Friday event. So they're going to do it July 1st for my birthday bash. So please come out, support myself, the community, and what they're trying to do. I'm extremely appreciative of them even thinking about me to even do a birthday bash. So please come out. It'll be a good time, food, music, drinks, you know, just have a good time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you deserve it.
I appreciate it.
Is the city invited or is the whole nation invited? Cause
the whole nation is invited.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bring them out. Come on out.
Okay. Yeah.
It's going down.
I want to be turned away.
And, you know, it's just going to be a positive vibe, you know. Just come out, have a good time, meet new people, meet some people you haven't seen in a while. You know, I love
Learn
music,
something
so
new.
People don't know me, I love music, so.
Oh, yeah.
Be ready
That's
for
cool.
a good time.
That's cool. And happy birthday. We want to be some of the first ones to tell you happy birthday on this Tuesday from Freedom Train.
Thank you. But, you know, before I leave, though, Joe, you know I have to give you a little plug in because people may not know, but me and Joseph Ward go back.
Yeah.
We go back to Crossroad Academy.
Yeah.
Joseph Ward to come speak to my students, and thank God he didn't turn me down. And he came.
No.
And are you still out there, Joe?
I'm working on getting back. We had a couple of changes, but I'm working on getting back. But we was going strong for like 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, I mean, Joe is a really good guy. He knows his information, and he's truly been a blessing in my life. So anytime he comes or asks me, I'm down. I'm going to do it.
I appreciate you. And our studio audience got to give you a round of applause for everything one more time.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
So is it Pat? You gonna come to the party on the 1st, right?
July 1st. I will do my dag-nabbitest to be there. I ain't gonna make no promises. But
all right,
you
I know Joseph's
time.
Gonna be there.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna be there. So
yeah,
I gotta look at my calendar to make sure I ain't got nowhere else to be. But if my calendar clear on the 1st, I will be there. If I'm not,
man, you got to come on. You got to come on down to Florida, cause you know Pat not in Florida, so.
Okay, I didn't know that. I'm sorry, I didn't know that.
I'm in Charlotte, but I'm due down there anyway. I ain't been home in a while, so.
Right. So.
But I really appreciate the opportunity for this interview.
Oh, no problem. Like we tell everybody, you know, this platform was created not for us to just run our mouths, even though we do like to do that and we take advantage of it. But it was created for people like yourself who are doing things in the community and we decided that we want to do our part in making sure more people know about people like yourself. So it's our pleasure, and we thank you for doing what you do in the community.
I thank you. I thank you for, like I said, the opportunity. I thank you for even wanting to do something like this, because it's truly needed. Not, like you said, not just for myself, but who's ever in the community that's making moves and being successful, it should be heard. So I agree with that 100%.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. So Pat.
What's up, homie?
You know what time it is, but I tweaked this a little bit, but it still got the same impact. But it's time for you to do your thing. Is you ready?
Hold on. I ain't ready, because I ain't heard my thing yet.
Man, all you got to do is tell me you is ready, and you're going to hear everything. You got to say it just like I said it, too.
I is ready.
There you go.
I'm here. Okay, so, as a black woman,
yes,
in America,
yes,
who was able to fight through all of the obstacles placed in front of you,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
you did that.
Mm-hmm.
What's the most important message you can give to young black girls to help them become successful in America today?
The main thing I would tell them to do is be you. Don't sway to the left. Don't sway to the right. Be the best you could possibly be. Don't worry about the haters. Don't worry about the naysayers. Whatever you believe in your heart that you can do, set forth. Don't worry about the setbacks or the limits. Take the limits off and do you. And I promise you, you'll be successful. You will be happy. And you will do what God is still for you to do. Won't be easy, but it can be done. And just do you.
There you go. Do you. Stay in your lane. We got too many people trying to be other people.
Yeah.
And that be the problem.
Yeah. So. Do you, and I promise you, you'll be successful. Put God first. Continue to put God first, and you will be successful.
All right. Remember, July 1st, we're going to be at the Mint Lounge celebrating Erica Camardi's birthday, celebrating her accomplishments, as well as having a political mixer. Also, they kind of threw, Jamal called me, he kind of threw me in there too, so I'm gonna be there with my book set up, so we're going to be shouting each other out,
good.
You know what I'm saying? So.
And before I get off the air, you just made me think of something. It's always important to make sure you keep good relationships.
Yes,
that's extremely important, because just the situation here, if me and Joe wouldn't have had a good relationship, this might have never happened. You always want to make sure, I don't care any stranger you meet, you always want to leave a good impression on them, because you just never know when you got to come back around that person. So when you said Jamel's name, made me think about me and Jamel go back to Samuel High Rickards time. That's been about 15, 20 years ago.
Right.
That made me think of that when you said it, my bad.
Nah, you good. I mean, you're giving out that information, so that's good. But I just want, let people know, come out on July 1st to support you and support everything that's going on. And it's also going to be a political mixer, so you can come out and be at the people who are running for the certain positions in the city, get to come out in the space that's designed to ask real questions and get real answers. So make sure you come out, because if you're not asking the questions, you can't complain about what's going on.
There you go.
So how can people contact you and learn more about you and FAMU High girls team, and to get more information on the upcoming season?
Well, I have a Twitter page set up for the team, Facebook page, the FAMU DRS girls basketball page, and I'm constantly, putting information out there so they can see. And then my page is kind of like the team page, because my personal page, because I promote them on my page, So my biggest thing is, and the reason why I do that, I say that on live, the reason why I do that is not to, boast or whatever. It's to get the girls out there, get them exposed, because like you said, some people don't even know what's going on in the community or at FAMU DRS. Some people don't even know we won back-to-back state titles. So it's just to get the exposure, to get them out there to understand what's going on. So. We have a Facebook page, our website, the school website. We'll have a schedule on there. Eventually, we're trying to get a website for the team. We're trying to get that going. So It's okay. Out there, you know, social media.
Yes, man. And you made me think of this, too. I have a young lady named Chelsea Francois. She hosts the teen version of our show. It's on the Freedom Train Network. It's called Plugged In with Chelsea Francois. And it's every third and fourth Tuesday at 6 p.m. on WTAL 1450. I would love to get some of your girls on her show to be interviewed because, you know, your girl, we'd love for people to hear their point of view of them winning the championship. So we definitely, I'm be in contact with you ASAP about setting that up and getting some of your girls on her show.
That will work. We can do that. I can make that happen.
Yes, man.
And that'll help them with public speaking, too.
Exactly. Exactly.
Always a teacher.
Yeah. I see that. But that's important. Like, they got to understand how to conduct themselves. So that'll be really good.
Yes, ma'am.
And if you guys run into any roadblocks on your website, make sure you stay in touch, because both Joe and I can take care of that if need be.
Oh, yeah. That's a great plug right there. Let's see those saying relationships. Let's see them coming up.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We got you. That's what we're supposed to do for each other, so we definitely got you.
Cool. I appreciate it. Right. I appreciate it.
We ain't gonna take up no much more of your time.
I really enjoyed this segment. I really have enjoyed it. The dialogue, the conversation. I really enjoyed it. I'm gonna just throw this in there. My undergrad degree is communication, so anytime, you know.
Oh yeah, well, definitely then. So.
Yeah, Joe, it was a good show outside of you being messy at that one point asking about Leon, but other than that.
Oh, you gonna throw that on me, huh?
Yeah, you know, I sent him a text before he asked. Now, like, Joe, don't do it. He was like, I'm gonna do it, Pat. I'm gonna do it.
Whatever. he gonna throw that on me like that. Whatever, man. But that's messed up. When I see you, when I get to North Carolina, you get to Florida, it's on.
That's all right.
Well, once again, Erica, we appreciate you. And we definitely look forward to having you on in the future because we're expecting y'all to go 3-peat. We putting out already out in the air, so you already know. And anytime you and the team and anything you are involved with have anything going on in the community, let us know so we can make sure we get the word out.
Okay, thank you so much.
No problem. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, talk to you later.
Yes, ma'am. See you later.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Tuna fish and grits. Back to back.
Like Magic Johnson say, back to back. Yeah.
You know what? We should have had that back to back, the hook for that song going.
I don't remember that song, the back to back song.
The back to back song, the Drake. Drake did.
Drake. Oh yeah. Well, it's okay. Never mind. I ain't gonna talk about Drake right now. But never mind.
It ain't about him and his.
No, I know, but it's just that's why I ain't remember it. But you know, it's all good though. It's all good.
That was a good show, though.
Yeah, man. She is amazing, man. She one of the best people I know, man. And just the man, I don't think like I was able to see the way she interact with young girls up close and personal, and the respect that young girls have for her because she's young as well. But the respect that she commands and demands and gives, like she's totally genuine about what she does, and the young girls that I've been able to see her interact with, they've definitely gotten better. They've definitely become better people. And we need more people like her in the community. And I'm encouraging everybody who's still listening in and everybody who knows, when you have people in your community like that, make sure you do your part and helping that person get stuff out, helping that person grow. You know, you can do small things, you know, just tell a friend, but people like that need to be praised. People like that need to be lauded. Because we got a lot of negative stuff in our communities that we give a lot of attention to. So, you know, she's a great role model for young girls, and more people need to know about her, and that's why we want to make sure we try to do our part here to get the word out.
Yeah, you know, you're right. I actually enjoyed the fact that she wouldn't say, we get a lot of hate. She said we get a lot of love, and when you get a lot of love, you get a lot of the other stuff too.
Right, right.
And I love, you know, it's like I'm not even gonna get out enough energy to put a label on it.
Right, that's a different mindset to have. So I mean, that's beautiful, man. Like she's definitely a great person and one of the best people I know. So shouts out to Miss Erica Kumar.
And who we got next week, Joe?
Man, next week we taking a ride, cause you know we've been this is for you and I. This has been a anticipated interview, cause we have the founder of Jupiter Strong on next week. We finally got Jupiter Strong on the show. It's going down, man. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm kind of excited.
Yeah, man, that's been like a year in the making, at least.
For you and I, you know, we was a little scary at first, but when we got our wings, got our confidence, you know, we went in. I mean, because I think the Jupiter Strong series is amazing, man. So, I mean.
Yeah, that's good stuff. That is good stuff.
So I mean, you know, it's going all the way down. So shout out to Mr. Frank Edwards IV. He is actually the creator of the Jupiter Strong series. So, and you can learn more about Jupiter Strong by going to www.jupiterstrong.com. And it's a, you know, I'm a grown man, and it's a series for children, but I'm a grown man, and I like it. I think it's pretty dang on cool, man. So if I say it's cool, then it's cool.
You heard him?
Yeah. So, man, you know, I'm Joseph Ward. That other guy right there is Mr. Patrick Irvin. Uh-huh. He's the second coolest person in the world. Well, you could be 1.5 behind me. Or you can be 1B and 1. I'm going to be 1A, you be 1B.
Okay,
You could be like, if we were polar bear toenails, you could be the left and I'd be the right. You know what I'm saying? So we still both cool. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
There it is. So y'all know, Freedom Train Podcast Series, we are your community resource podcast series, and our mission is to connect professionals, business owners, and resources to our community members to help uplift and empower our communities. Remember, we're on air each and every Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Our call-in number is 712, that's the old number. The new number is 720-820-1343. Once again, 720-820-1343. Or you can listen in online at www.freeconferencecall.com/wall/freedomtrain. And remember, the Freedom Train is sponsored by PACS Inc. That's PACTSINC. And PACS Inc. is a black advocacy organization aimed at developing the black community to its maximum potential through a focus on education and economics with the traits of hard work, honesty, and integrity. And for more information, make sure you visit www.PACSINC.org. That's PACTSINC.org. And make sure while you're online, get your checklist out, because here it go again. Visit our Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrainradio.com. And follow us on Twitter and Instagram at _FreedomTrain. And like our Freedom Train Facebook page. And if you don't do that, we ain't going to like you. Yeah. But if you do it, we cool. Ain't that right?
That right. If you don't do it, you a sucker. Yeah.
Yeah. So y'all already know how we do it. Two fingers up like a player. Spit them apart. We'll see y'all next week.